And the myths just keep piling on. A really difficult one concerns the weak popular coaching theory on change management. Piling on that it is a process is this notion that the best path to success is managed incremental change. They say, don't go massive radical all the way from beginning to end. Don't go from soup to nuts. Don't go to this place because that's more about failure. That's harder to do. Don't go cold turkey. Don't go massive. Take baby steps. Manage your baby steps. There was a great study that came out in early 2000 cited in an e-zine called Fast Times, and the article was called Change or Die. The question was asked, if you believed in a competent medical authority that told you, you have a medical issue, and if you do not make a change in one of three areas, and preferably all three, but at least one, you need to modify your diet, you need to modify your exercise patterns, or you need to modify your stress management. And if you cannot change in at least one of these three areas, and we only need a moderate change, you don't have to be radical, just moderate, and begin improving your life today, the probability that you're going to die within the next 2 years is 90%. The article's first paragraph asked the question, how many people, when threatened with death, and they believed it, make the change? Now, in seminars, most people believe it's a high number, but the answer is over 90% do not change. Over 90% perished within the next 2 years. And this is all based on coronary bypass studies. Now, one of the doctors in that study was having an almost 8-fold improvement over standard Western medicine. 8-fold. His patients were succeeding at a 77% level, where everybody else was succeeding at less than 10%. And when they studied him, one of the changes that was different, one of the methods of instruction that were different for him, matches the inevitable you system. And it's this, do not change incrementally. That's what traditional Western medicine was teaching the bulk of the patients. His patients were taught to make a massive radical leap, a massive transformation in what they were doing in all three areas. So to make this real, because a lot of people struggle with this, they've heard it so frequently, I came up with what I call the 15 Twinkie theory, and here it is. If you were eating 15 Twinkies, and this medical authority says, you need to cut out Twinkies, and so you're going to modify it in a fashion that matches their incremental change process. In week one, you're going to cut out one Twinkie. And every week thereafter, you're going to cut out a Twinkie to get where you're going. So let's dive into the psychology of this. Let's go deeper into the mind of an individual who's faced with death, threatened by their mortality, and now they have to cut back and eat 14 Twinkies. Well, the first problem is they don't think of themselves as eating 14 Twinkies. They're obsessing about the one Twinkie they don't get. Oh my goodness, this is so hard. This is really tough. And if you were to measure the stress and psychological difficulty of cutting out one Twinkie and say, okay, there it is. The first week you've cut back on one Twinkie. Let's go to week two. Now you're not eating two Twinkies. Do you think that's twice as difficult? Or you think for most people, realistically, it's 5 times as difficult? And yes, when we measure it, it's 5 times as hard. It's like, oh my gosh, 2 Twinkies gone? This is insanity. This is driving me crazy. This is so hard. Week 3 Twinkies are gone. It's the end of the world. So you get on the scale before you go to a party that night, and what's your results? You haven't lost anything, or you've lost a small amount, because just cutting out one Twinkie a week while it's manageable baby steps doesn't give you big results. It gives you baby results. And life is such that when you arrive at your best friend's party, they're serving fried Twinkies. And it's been 3 weeks, and the psychological damage and stress and pain has been building, building, building. And you go nuts. You start wolfing down fried Twinkies like there's no tomorrow. You wake up on Sunday morning and you go, this is garbage. I can't do this. I can't even picture a life like this. Every week is getting harder and harder and harder. And plus, when you went to the party and you ran into the fried Twinkie platter, well, it was virtually impossible for you to withstand the stress. You went crazy. You ate 30 Twinkies. You raid the platter. You went into the kitchen looking for more fried Twinkies. You feel terrible. You feel fat. And you're angry at yourself. And you wake up that next morning feeling terrible. And you go, you know what? I can't do this. It's too hard. And so if I'm going to die, I might as well die fat and happy. And you go back to eating your Twinkie pattern. And that's why over 90% of the managed incremental change environment patients have a very hard time in succeeding. Now, let's look at what neuroscience teaches us, or what Dr. Dean Ornish had his patients do, the massive radical transformation change patients. Week one, no Twinkies, none, nada, bup, zip, zero. Now, if we look at the obsession, the psychological stress, the worry, the anxiety, just the mental psychological state of that person eating no Twinkies versus the one who's only eating 14 and they focused on the one that they don't get, what do you think the difference really is in their stress patterns, in their anxiety patterns, and their psychological difficulty patterns? Yeah, not much. It's counterintuitive. Whether you're cutting one Twinkie or 15 Twinkies, humans are a very, very peculiar being, and you'll obsess about the one you don't get as much as you obsess about the 15 that you don't get. Week two, no Twinkies. Is it twice as hard or five times as hard? Yeah, same. It's five times as hard. It's just as hard as missing two Twinkies. You're going nuts. And in week three, you're beside yourself. You can't stand this new life. You're just as insane as the person who has cut three Twinkies out in the third week. But now, there's two really critical differences that will emerge. First of all, when you get on the scale before you go to your friend's party, what is your weight loss? What has been the impact? Is it insignificant? Is it baby steps, or is it massive radical? Have you lost a good chunk of weight? And the answer is you've lost a great chunk of weight. You feel good about your weight loss. Now, you go to the party still in the same psychological difficulty as the other managed change patients. But when you go to the party, the second thing is going to emerge. And it's this. There's the fried Twinkie platter. You can't stand it. You can't help yourself. You have your first Twinkie. And what does that first Twinkie taste like to you? Yeah, it's incredible. Now, some of you might say, oh, it tastes awful. But no, the reality is that if you were addicted to Twinkies before, and if you love the sugar taste, you're clean of sugar for 3 weeks, the first Twinkie you eat is going to taste magnificent. And now the difference begins to emerge. What's the second Twinkie taste like? Maybe good, but not magnificent. Because one of the things is that when your body is clean of sugar for 3 weeks, a little bit of sugar tastes great. The same amount of sugar that you used to have, though, doesn't taste great. And so the other person who was eating 12 Twinkies that week, they're going to OD on sugar, and they eat all 30 Twinkies at the party. And it's just going to be a sugar overdose when they're already eating 12 to begin with. But for the person who is Twinkie-free and hasn't had that sugar in their body, the second Twinkie doesn't taste that good. And the third Twinkie tastes absolutely awful. And you might even stuff another three in. But now when you wake up the next morning, you're going to be mad at yourself, but you only had six. And you're going to get on the scale and you're going to go, oh, I didn't put on that much weight. You're going to look at the fact that, well, six Twinkies didn't taste good, but one did. And you're going to discover, and it's going to not be just a discovery, it's going to be deep in your body, a new you truth. You can see it, you can hear it, you can feel it, you can think on it, you can focus. It's in your body what thin people know. which is one Twinkie tastes great, two Twinkies do not. So thin people have a little bit of their favorite food or their sinful food or whatever they love, but they don't binge because they don't have a binge psychology. But when you're ODing on something you're addicted to, you're binging. And so when traditional psychology says, in order to stop this pattern, you got to take baby steps, it's setting you up to fail. And it's counterintuitive because you've been told your whole life, massive, radical, cold turkey is the path to failure. And I'm here to tell you it's not. And now you will go into your fourth week and you'll stay Twinkie free. And as the weight continues to come down, now you can settle back into a normal life where occasionally if you want a Twinkie, you'll have one. That's what thin people do. It's not that they never get Twinkies. It's that they have a Twinkie management pattern that overweight people do not. And so this notion that Dr. Dean Ornish patients were having an eightfold factor of success, one of the most critical items leading to that was this fact that they went for a massive radical change. Always remember, as the old you, incremental change literally will kill you. You will understand massive radical change is far better, even deeper, when we complete the new you section.